Topics you care about by people you trust. This is The Clear Perspective, your healthcare cybersecurity, compliance, and privacy podcast. And now for the show.
Welcome to The Clear Perspective. I'm Steve Cagle, the CEO of Clearwater Security and Compliance. In today's podcast, we'll discuss how to both change leadership's mindsets about cyber risks and gain support for advancing cybersecurity programs. I'm joined today by two legends in healthcare cybersecurity and compliance, Mac McMillan and Bob Chaput. So let's get started. We talked about some of the trends, talked about some of the things we need to do, how to do them. Let's talk a little bit about what might be coming next. There's been a lot of investment in cybersecurity. And as we know, maybe not all that money is being spent in the right place. Where do you see security leaders really needing to focus the most over the next several years? What are some of the investments that you think are going to be really needed most? Bob, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, there was a survey that was done at the 2022 RSA conference, and 75% of the organizations surveyed felt that they wasted most of their cybersecurity budget on failing to mitigate risk, even though they had an overabundance of tools, right? And, you know, only 14% of them said they wasted no money at all. So there's a general acknowledgement that we have just layered tool upon tool upon tool, et cetera. I think this all gets back to how do we best help the C-suite and the board make informed decisions or support the informed decisions that the people on the front lines are going to be making. And I think you know me well enough that if I'm going to talk about where I'm going to invest, I'm going to invest in risk management 101. It still seems to elude what's going on in the healthcare world. And it gets back to, you know, pick your favorite model. I'm a huge fan of what has been promulgated in a compendium of documents coming out of NISC. But just think about the basic process of frame, assess, respond, and monitor. And what is your organization doing around that? Anchor on something like that. And the reason I have the energy I do around it is in the absence of a solid risk management process, how do you know if you're wasting money or not? You're overspending on unnecessary stuff and likely underspending on the real issues. So from an investment point of view, there has to be a reconciliation and a rationalization of tools. I think every CISO in every organization, healthcare or otherwise, today ought to be undertaking an inventorying process and assessing the utilization of what tools they have and making a judgment as to whether or not they're getting something out of it. And of course, my bias is going to be if you free up money as a result of, you know, underutilization of tools where you've spent money, make the investment in doing risk management a lot better than you've been doing it before. And when you do that, please include the pivot that I spoke about of not only talking about what are your cyber risks, but what are your cyber opportunities as well.
It's not just a tools issue, it's a people issue too, right, Mac? I mean, there's not a lot of resources out there to use all these tools, and there's some basic things that a lot of organizations, especially smaller ones, are struggling with.
Yeah, you know, I think the last study I saw with respect to a survey around how many security tools does an organization have, the number I saw then was over 100 discrete security tools in their infrastructure. And yet the organization, you know, as they gravitated from, and I look back to see those surveys when they began 10 years earlier, the average number was 12 and went from 12 to over 100 in a decade. But then when I looked at those organizations in terms of the number of people in the security group or in any group that were responsible for managing those tools, there was no change. So you still had the hospital that had 5 people in their security team now managing 100 different tools or trying to take the information from 100 different tools that it was producing and making sense of it. And the fact of the matter is they weren't, and they were underutilized. Many of them were underutilized. Some of them weren't even connected anymore, and nobody was even paying attention to them. Some of them, they'd even turned off the alerts because there weren't enough people to listen to them. If you tell me that you're going to implement a SIM, for instance, which we all know what a SIM is, right? You tell me you're going to implement a SIM, my first question is Who's going to monitor it? How many people are you going to have to monitor it? What other systems are you going to have feeding information to that SIM? Who's going to do that integration? I mean, most of these tools that these organizations have today don't even talk to one another. They're not integrated very well, which means that the poor security team has to deal with them as one-offs. And then they have to do the correlation on the back end. And I think we all understand with the number of incidents and the number of events that occur that these systems are monitoring. Human correlation is not a thing. It doesn't work, right? So Bob's absolutely correct. You got to understand where your risks are. You got to understand where your opportunities are. You need to put that plan together. You need to think of your entire tool environment from the perspective of does this make sense with respect to what we're trying to accomplish? Do I have the right tools? Do they talk to one another? Can I integrate those things? Can I get a correlated view of what my risk is on an ongoing basis? Who's going to do that monitoring? I hear organizations say, well, I'm going to create a SOC. And I'm like, oh, really? Good. And how many resources do you think you need to do that? Right. And they're like, well, we only have a couple of guys. And I'm like, so obviously this isn't going to be a 24/7 SOC. And that's not even getting into the discussion of, okay, you have your own SOC, your One Health system. Even if you got 20 hospitals, all you're seeing is a view of what 20 hospitals see, as opposed to the big SOC players who are seeing thousands of inputs and doing correlation across millions of events and way ahead of whatever you're going to come up with your little staff with respect to what's coming at you. Not to mention the fact that because they're looking at threats across the planet in some cases or across the United States, as we all know, hackers are like everybody else. They wake up and go to sleep just like everybody else. Now, maybe on a different schedule, but we also know that attacks tend to follow the sun. So if you're over on this side of the country and I identify it over here in the early morning and the message goes out right away because you're in a managed SOC environment, guess what? You've got hours that you can actually use to respond to that. But if you're waiting for it to hit you, it's already hit you. You get the sense of there's nobody there that truly understands security from a programmatic management perspective, right? They're good at doing this, that, or the other, but they don't understand. They don't know how to put it all together.
It's not an easy thing to do, and it's changing on an ongoing basis. And then you layer in the whole healthcare element to it, and having that expertise and understanding how a healthcare organization works, it's pretty complex, and it's not getting any easier. Over the next several years, it's going to become even more complicated. You know, Mac, you talked about orchestration. It probably wouldn't be a complete podcast here without talking about AI in some way. I'll throw that one at you. AI is playing a big role in security. It's not a new thing. There's been advances and new applications, both from the adversary and then also, of course, from security organizations, security tools. What are some of the ways that you see AI playing a role in security?
So I think, as any new technology where there's a lot of excitement about the potential, the thing that we first have to recognize is that it's here, it's not going away, so we need to figure out how to deal with it. I'm very apprehensive about AI because I don't believe we truly understand how to manage it or control it yet. And that's my biggest concern is that, you know, typically security has always lagged behind the appearance of new technology, but it's always been discrete to where once you understood it, you could address it. In this case, we have a technology that's being implemented, and it is being implemented. There are thousands of people using AI already. And you hear it, you know, more and more I see articles in the rags around healthcare where hospitals are embracing AI. And yet I read something just yesterday where an individual who I guess teaches people how to use ChatGPT. Basically came out and said, after dealing with, you know, literally thousands of folks trying to learn how to use this tool, and that's a very narrow AI as opposed to a broad-based AI. After doing that, he's decided that 99% of the people that he's dealt with don't know how to use it. Here I'm sitting here as a security guy going, I got all these people using a technology that we don't truly understand yet in terms of what it potentially is capable of. And 99% of them don't know what they're doing. Frankly, it scares the hell out of me in some cases, but I know it's here to stay. And I'll say this, there's two things. I mean, obviously you need to understand AI is not all created equal. There are two different kinds, right? There's kinds that are very narrow, which like ChatGPT, and then there are broad-based AI, which are the more dangerous ones, which right now are not really being used in the mainstream. But besides that, in my mind, there are two things that I think are critical for security to figure out and get a handle on as quickly as they can. And the first one is the algorithms. Because AI, just like anything else technology-wise, is driven by somebody or something. And in this case, it's driven by algorithms. Algorithms that are created by people, right? And so depending on whether those algorithms are complete enough, depending on whether those algorithms are correct, depending on what the integrity of those algorithms is, how broadly those algorithms are written, can have a dramatic impact on what that AI comes up with as an answer, right? The second thing I think that we have to figure out real quick is that AI relies on an enormous amount of data to do what it does, right? It's like a big sucking sound, and it just wants to pull data in, more data in, more data in. And as more data comes in, it alters its view of reality based on its algorithms. So if you have AI based on a very narrow data set, it's going to have a very narrow set of outcomes. If you have AI based on a data lake, which is what we're creating now for a lot of these systems, the sense of reality could change dramatically, right? And so I think security needs to do two things in my mind. The first thing they need to do is we need to get a handle on how do we secure the algorithms. And then secondly, the data that the system is relying on. Can somebody introduce information in there that can skew the result? Or do I understand exactly what information my AI is relying on to make decisions for me? And I'm sure there are others.
Yeah, that's a huge concern. We're hearing about that cyber criminals are now going after that, exactly what you said, after the algorithms, or they'll go after the data and they'll try to do something to affect the integrity of the data for nefarious purposes. We've seen a lot of AI generated social engineering attacks now, deep fakes. So, you know, the bad guys are coming in from multiple angles to, you know, to try to leverage AI or to try to attack a weakness in the AI to serve their goals. Bob, any thoughts on that or any other predictions thinking about the future and what it might hold for cybersecurity and healthcare?
You know me, if I look at AI or any other new emerging technology that comes along, if you have a solid process for risk management, you will just simply take that new technology, put it into your process and run it through. So of course, I'm going to do a risk assessment right now at the starting gate as I build my own AI applications. We need to look at AI from the point of view of leverage as well. What are the opportunities that we may have? On the adversarial side, I was in a discussion the other day with a CISO, and his question was, gee, should I change my social engineering training because of AI? And many in this organization said, oh, no, it's all good. We just keep doing the same old we've been doing. Well, if you think about it, Mac touched upon this, you know, tools like ChatGPT are able to do a lot of cleanup of the grammar errors that we used to use, right? The really simple stuff to pick this stuff up. And then the deep fakes you mentioned, Steve, they're also, you can just crank up, turn up the gain on the phishing attacks weaponizing AI as a tool there, cloning human speech. I mean, it just, you can now refine and make highly targeted attacks that you weren't able to do before. And AI, with its learning capability, is capable of dropping in a continuous process improvement mode. So this stuff, we need to figure this out, obviously. I guess in terms of other predictions, I'm going to come up out of the weeds for a moment and be the more optimistic me and hopeful me. I see that at the bigger picture level, I see the C-suites and the boards continuing to increase their engagement in meaningful ways for lots of reasons. I mean, the courts are speaking, the legislatures are speaking, we talked about it, the enforcement bodies. I'm not sure what's going on with OCR, but the SEC and FTC and other enforcement bodies are turning up the game. This is an existential risk. Hospitals are going out of business. Other businesses are going out of business as a result of these attacks. Finally, I predict this increase in engagement because there is going to be, and there is in many organizations already, if not in healthcare, a realization that we can manage the upside, that we are going to have opportunities in the strength of our cyber programs that we're going to be able to leverage in an M&A circumstance, leverage it in a competitive advantage circumstance, leverage it in a variety of different ways that we've not done before. And one thing that's cool is if you peel back the onion on the version 2.0 of the NIST cybersecurity framework, within the new govern function, there is a subcategory that talks about positive risk and focusing on positive risk. So call me an optimist or optimistic at the moment, but I would put that in my set of predictions for the future.
We definitely need some optimism. The future is going to be pretty complex, I think, when we see just some of the trends you alluded to, right, with the increases in social engineering attacks and the rate at which bad guys are learning. We have to get better ourselves. And the way to do that, again, is to make it a priority, which is really what we've heard both of you say repeatedly today. And of course, I agree with wholeheartedly. We've covered a lot of ground and a great discussion. Love to just get some closing thoughts and then we'll wrap up. Mac?
I think there's three things that I would close with, but as a lead into that, what I'd say is, you know, we've talked about a lot of challenges today, and clearly there are a lot of challenges, and there's going to be a lot more challenges. But I think to Bob's point, being optimistic, there are a lot of folks who are doing a good job. It is possible to do a good job in this fight. But I think there's some things that you have to understand. Number one, you're not going to do this alone. The CISO is not going to do this alone. It's got to be an organizational effort. They've got to enlist the rest of the organization, and they have to have leadership that helps, that supports this, and leadership has to get behind it. It's a team sport. There's not a CISO on the planet that can secure a network or an organization. You need everybody else in the organization to do things right every single day for your plan to actually come to fruition. You've got to find a way to create that culture, and you've got to engage leadership and make sure they understand that they are so very important to you in doing that. The second thing is, this is a strategic and tactical march. It is not a sprint, right? And there is no destination here. You are never going to get to the end of your cybersecurity challenge because everything is dynamic. Everything is going to continue to change. And you have to understand and recognize that. And as Bob would say, you got to have a focus on risk mitigation. And then lastly, people that engage or get involved in cybersecurity today have got to be in this line of work for the right reasons. And what I mean by that is you got to have perseverance. You got to have stamina. You got to be able to create that culture and engage the organization. You know, this is one of those things my father used to make the statement, or my grandfather, I can't remember which, that, you know, if you're going to get into a fight, tell the other guy he better bring his lunch, right? Because when a guy knows you're committed, half the time, he's going to go somewhere else. If he knows you're not going to quit, you're just going to keep coming, even if you're getting your butt kicked. After a while, he's going to say, this is not worth the effort. I'm going somewhere else. you've got to get in the ring here and be willing to go the mile. You've got to be vigilant. You got to be ready. And above all, you've got to play smart or fight smart, and you've got to fight proactively, as Bob says, right? You've got to learn how to harness all of the resources around you that can help you get your job done. And that means both internally and externally. When you look at those risks and those opportunities that Bob talked about, some of those are things you're not going to be able to do internally. You're going to have to go find the right partner to help you do that. But bottom line is you have just got to get in here and fight. It's got to be a fight you like, because you're going to be in a fight for a very long time.
Well said. Bob, final thoughts?
I agree 100%. Let's commend all the folks out there that are doing a good job and come to work every single day. They need the air cover and support. So I'd say several things. Number one, hook the board. And the way to hook the board on this conversation about cyber risk management, cybersecurity, is going to be to talk about the things that they are their top three priorities, which are talent management, risk management, and strategy. And connect your cyber discussion around those three things. I'd also say to hook the C-suite. And on a more day-to-day basis, they're worried about the image of the company, customer trust. They're worrying about growing the business. They're worrying about profitability. They're worrying about margin. They're worrying about competition. Engage in business conversation. And we have a cohort of CISOs who are coming up through, many of whom probably started in much lower level positions than where they are today. All of a sudden, they have a seat at the table. They've got to start talking business. And then finally, to the point I made earlier, yes, you have to play defense. And yes, there's still a lot of work to do there. But begin to think about pivoting your focus to the positive risk, or the so-called opportunities. It's managing the downside. Yes, have to do that. But also think about managing the upside going forward.
Great thoughts. Great. Thank you, both of you, Mac and Bob, for all your insights. Most importantly, for everything you've contributed to cybersecurity and to our healthcare industry. We're very grateful for all of that contribution and for having you here to provide some of your thoughts and wisdom. So thanks again very much.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and gained valuable insights.